Blog Talk Radio.
People go through changes, times change, feeling the wrong.
I woke up this morning.
Okay.
I was feeling such a pain in my stomach. Felt like I was losing ground. Lord, what's wrong with me? Show me the way out.
Show me the way, give me a sign.
Whatever this feeling is, I know you're
holding me down.
Welcome to Open to Higher Self, a philosophy of Alvina's Spa and Resource Center, located in Harlem, New York City. I want to repeat the affirmation that I mentioned last week, and that affirmation is, Today, I will affirm in myself that the Almighty has ordained everything perfect for me. I affirm that I shall walk, sleep, be, live, eat, and motivate in the beam of the divine light that has been offered to me to live life to the fullest. I affirm that each and every day I shall be grateful. I shall be thankful. I shall move in the blessings that have been given to me. I thank all that are here today, and I ask you, each and every one of you, to just sit back and enjoy this wonderful melody that will bring forth healing from Sister Mary Electrica. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Well, that was a musical piece, a healing musical piece from our previous guest, Mary Electrica. Today, Alvina Spa, your host, Alvina Smith, has invited Dr. Ilan Bomani on our show today. I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly. Dr. Bomani?
Yes, we're here, and you're doing a fantastic job. It is correct.
Okay. Dr. Bomani, you have a wonderful dynamic story that at one point you were, to me, you were bankrupt to having $36 in your account. I want to first tell our audience that, you know, Dr. Bomani is an international transformational leader and motivational speaker. She went from rags to real estate riches. And this is a story that I want each and every one of you to listen to. I want you to gain some pointers because today what we're going through, I'm quite sure many of you are saying, oh, how can we get out of this? How can we even think about trying to invest or doing anything? But Dr. Bomani is going to tell us how she went from being homeless, a homeless mom, to being worth $1.5 or one more million dollars. And she did this in a year and a half. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Well, Dr. Bomani, can you please give us some insight to your story?
Sure, I'd be happy to put it succinctly. I started out my wealth journey, not by my standards, for sure. I started as a homeless mom with $36 in my checking account. Within a year and a half, I became a millionaire. And I don't tell people this story to impress them, but to impress upon them, when they hear my story a little bit further, you'll find yourself in it that if I can do it, you can do it too. There was nothing magical about the steps that I took. They're all doable by each and every individual. And I start out by saying this, like most individuals that get married, I had a wonderful bouncing baby boy. And like most women, you know, we have a very difficult decision to make. Do I maintain, for me it was a private practice or my job, or do I stay home and raise my son? And that was a no-brainer, you know, starting out with a single mother on welfare, and I knew what she went through, and my dad, unfortunately, being a drug dealer in Philadelphia, you know, I know it's very challenging for moms to be able to stay at home and raise their children on their own, and my mother did not have that luxury. But I vowed that when I had a child that I was going to do just that, because I could always have a private practice, but I couldn't miss out on those bonding days of the first walk, talk, and all those basic social developments that a child needs someone to take care of. That's just my belief. And so that's what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, I don't think me and my husband were on the same page as that was concerned, but because one check is missing from the equation. And like the old saying goes, if there's no finance, there is no romance. And before you know it, you know, my husband and I were in the state of the War of the Roses. Like most marriages, 50% of them end, and the number one reason is because of what? Money. So I wasn't immune to that crisis. So, you know, he took his position and I took mine. Unfortunately, he pulled out the major trump card. He emptied our joint checking account.
Wow.
And within a matter of minutes, I found myself financially destitute. Now, stop there, because most divas would get dramatic about it. How dare he do that to me, you know, drama. And I realized right then and there that, you know, as you're pointing one finger at someone else, what's happening? Hello, three fingers are pointing back at you. So I'm very clear about this, and it's about telling everybody where you find yourself at financially, relationship-wise, politically, socially, spiritually. You put yourself there. You are the victor in this situation, not the victim. The only time it becomes a victim is when you're blaming, because that leaves you powerless. That leaves you out of control. So I'm very clear. You change your choices that you're making, and by doing so, your life will change also. So when I was down on my knees, you know, because I'm going to get this, because this homeless thing is not pretty at all.
Okay.
And, you know, I realized that, you know, I had to, people tell me, what was your why? You know, everybody has their why they do the things that they do. My why was that, you know, I'm looking at this baby, looking at me, I've turned her to the lioness protecting her cub. I could not deny him the best that life had to offer. He deserved the very best. And because of the poor choices that I make, see, that's the key word, choice that I made. That is why we were in the predicament that I was in. So I got it. When I got down my hands and knees, you know, I did enough spiritual work to know that I was going to focus all my time and energy on resolving my situation and not pointing the finger. But in doing so, not to exonerate him from his responsibility, but that was his karma. That was none of my business. I could only control what I had control over, and that was what I was doing in this equation and game. So, you know, I went to, you know, God is just so good. And this is my point I want to make. I'm very, very clear. And that's why I tapped into the dynamicdiva.com, and I created that website, which is for whole and complete and balanced women. It was at that juncture that I decided to reconnect with the diva within me. And what that means, diva means, is a connection with the divine female essence of God. And so that's what I tapped into, and in doing so, miracles happened. And when I'd always tell people, you got to give yourself an opportunity to have a test in order to have a testimonial. And we sometimes miss out on that. So that's what I did, because if God can provide for the birds, bees, flowers, and trees, sure enough, God was going to provide for me. But I had to give myself that opportunity. So in doing so, you know, what the first thing that I did when I got down on my hands and knees and I prayed, because I really wanted the answer, and that's the first thing I tell people to do, pray. Prayer is our conversation with God. And when you're in alignment with God, you're setting yourself up for the unlimited abundance and the impossible dreams coming true.
Right.
So getting into that realm and getting that prayer understood, I really wanted to get it. What happened here? And the first thing that I got was that, number one, I had a poverty consciousness. I grew up poor, and I thought that I was going to be poor throughout my life. I had a love-hate relationship with money. Like some of the things we always say about money, you know, I'm broke. You know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, pinching pennies, filthy rich. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. I can't afford it. You know, all those negative, you know, words that we say on a daily basis, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, you know, it really establishes that we don't have a good relationship with money. If you don't pay attention to money, guess what? Money won't pay attention to you. That's like any other relationship that you're in. So
exactly.
What I decided to do was start to develop a relationship with money. I started to honor, love, and respect money. And in return, money honored and loved and respect me.
Right.
Not as I was in love with money, but I loved the essence of what money brought to me. You know, a healthy lifestyle, a decent home to live in, clothes on my back and food on the table and a good college education for my son. You know, money isn't everything, but it is up there with oxygen. I'm very clear with that. You know, in order for us to have those other things in life, guess what? Ironically, you need money to do those things.
That's
so
true.
What I tell people is that if you have a paradigm shift about your philosophy about money and see it as an expression of love, the money could do only good in your life. Because think about it, money is only energy. That's what they call a currency. And so that currency has to consistently flow, and everything is a manifestation of that energy. That's money, that's your job, that's your work, even food that we eat is made up of what? Energy, okay? So when you understand that, and you understand that money is an expression of love, my question to you is this. How much money you have is based upon how much love you're giving to the world. So if you have only a little bit of money, it's only because you're only giving out a little bit of love. So if you have a whole lot of money, it's because you're giving out a whole lot of love.
I have a question. How do you equate that? Because there are numerous people, especially historically, that from our ethnic group, that they gave a lot of love. They just poured it out to not only to their own children but to other people, and they weren't wealthy. So how do you equate having a lot of love with having a wealth of finances?
Okay, that's a good question. And I put it to you this way, Nancy. This is where you get really smart. And what I mean by that is one of the key areas is that another thing I say about emotions, people who are stingy with their money, that we call them cheap, spendthrifts, those type of people, that's because if you think about a person, they're holding, that money back. They're hoarding it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, people who overly give, like give to the point where they can't pay their groceries or they can't pay their food bill or that they can't take care of themselves, that's a manifestation of major low self-esteem, of lack of love. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we tended to do. We tended to overcompensate because of the fact that we could not receive love. We gave too much of it away because we feared it being really a part of us. And so that's why we suffer, because you know what that is? That's a product of low self-esteem, low self-worth, low self-value. You see what I'm saying? So that's what we overindulged. We've got to find the balance, because when you love yourself, you don't hurt yourself. You don't deprive yourself. It's like when you go on a plane, right? You know how they say put the oxygen on you first, then on your children?
Yeah.
And what do? We put on the children first. How can we save them if we ain't even saving ourselves?
Right.
Is that making sense? I'm glad you asked that question, Diva, because you're right. That's one of the main Achilles heels that we have. And we're trying to understand. But wait a minute. I give. But think about it, too. Are we really giving, or are we manipulating and controlling?
That's a good point.
Think about it. My mother did that. I love her to death. My mother did that because she overcompensated, and then she got very angry because her thing was, okay, I'm going to take care of you, so when I get older, you take care of me. But that is
okay, now, is that wrong? Because traditionally, culturally, that is something that people of color or African descent, that is a cultural upbringing for one to have children so that they can cultivate them, educate them on various of social values and mores, and that they can go out into the world and become better than their parents so that they can give back to their parents to take care of their parents. So is that wrong?
Yes and no. Okay. And let me explain to you this way. The yes part of it is that whenever you do anything in the kindness of your heart to give, you never expect anything in return. Because then you're not giving. It's an exchange of goods and services. And as long as you allow that person to know that that's a contractual agreement, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? If that person does not know that that's the contractual agreement, then the onus is on you. I did this for you, and I expect. It's like any relationship between a man and a woman. I'm giving you all of this love. And I expect you to come home at this time, and you're supposed to take me out to eat, and you're supposed to buy me Valentine's Day. And I mean, this person has a criteria, what they expect for what they give.
Mm-hmm.
That is an exchange, which is fine. It's a form of bartering. It's a form of negotiating. But if the other person that does not know that that's what's going on in the game, then it's not fair. But true giving, Diva, true giving is giving without having any expectations or expecting anything in return. But the beauty of it is when you come from that context, now listen to me, this is real important. When you come to the context of true giving, guess what? When it's in universal order and in alignment with the divine, you can't help but receive, because that's the natural laws of the universe.
Hmm.
It's called karma. It's called you reap what you sow. It's all good. Now, it may not come from that particular source. That's what people expect. Well, I did for that person, so that person's supposed to do for me. Mm-mm. You see, the beauty of it is all things come around, but it may not come around the way that you anticipate. And I'll be the first to raise my hand. It happens all the time to me. I may be doing something over here, and my abundance may come from another source in another place. So that's where we miss our mark, when we expect it to come the way that we divinely ordained it to be. But guess what? Guess what? We're on God's time. It's not God's plan. And that's
I do agree. Yes, that is so true. That is so true.
So that's the first thing people need to do, is develop a wealth consciousness. So instead of saying, you know, robbing Peter, pay Paul, pinching pennies, a day late, dollar short, all those negative connotations towards money, I shifted my conversation. Because every word that you say, Diva, is a prayer, good or bad. It's a prayer, and you're putting it out in the universe. And when you put it out in the universe, guess what? In order for you to hear your voice, it has to boomerang back to you. That's what I wrote in my book, Wealth Chant. That's why I have a book just on chanting wealthy words, because we've been psychologically conditioned to believe these thoughts for 20, 30 years.
Right.
And that's why it's showing up the way that it is. If we're saying we're constantly broke, we don't have any money, I can't afford it, you know, I can't do it, you know, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it will achieve. Mind over matter. So what I did, I decided to take back my power. It's an African proverb that says, it's one thing when a bird lands on your head. It's another thing when you allow the bird to build a nest. And we've allowed them to build condominiums, girl. I mean, we allowed, you know, them to really control our minds. So now I'm telling people, and I tell divas this every day, take back your power.
Well, let me ask you a question. Because from what I'm hearing, that this question has been asked to me, and that is, well, is prosperity only finance? And I always say no. You can be prosperous in several areas of your life, and that's health, wealth, financial wealth, and education, wisdom, an environment, social networking. It encompasses a whole holistic approach to me. And I noticed that on your website, you deal with the health, you deal with the finances, and you also deal with the mental and the emotional. So my question to you, that when you do speak about wealth, because I do hear you saying you're talking about hoarding and keeping things to yourself or overcompensating, would you also say that is something that one needs to practice in their health vision and their wisdom vision and in their education vision, whatever that they are trying to visualize to see themselves obtaining, would you say that is something that they need to go towards, as to not try to hoard or either overcompensate?
That is correct. And you're right. When I speak of the term wealth, I'm talking about a wellness of life, and that's in all aspects of your life, and the money to enjoy it all, meaning, like we mentioned earlier, a health of spirit, a health of relationships, a health of political, you know, aspirations or socialization, being balanced, and that's the true, you know, juggling act and true talent in all aspects of your life. And that is just so important that we really understand, because once you are, you're not lacking in abundance, you can't help but have the money to enjoy it all. Because that's how it works. There's no separation. You know, all of it is intertwined together. If I'm in balance in one area, it's a reflection of me being in balance in another. For example, if I'm stressed out about paying the bills, I'm going to have high blood pressure or maybe even a heart attack. You know, and if I can't pay the bills, that contribute to me being stressed out, then I can't, you know, call on divine order, and then I'm taking Valiums, et cetera, to keep my head together. You know, but once again, I'm going back to ancient Africa. We went to one person to heal the mind, body, and spirit, where in America, the systemization is you go to a psychiatrist for your mind, you go to a pastor for your spirit, you go to a doctor for your body.
Yeah.
You know, we think it's all separated, and that's where the illusion is at, that we know we got to heal the whole entire being. That's what we call holistic health. It's the wholeness that we need to focus on. And in doing so, like I said, the money, it's easy. And I always tell people, I didn't become a millionaire for the sake of becoming a millionaire, but what it made of me. You know, this is where I found courage, you know, bravery, persistence, determination, order, balance, reciprocity, truth, justice, righteousness, you know, liberation, and more importantly, love. Because that's all what it all is. That's right. The true meaning of what it really is all about. And if you stay in the light and stay in the love, you're not in a place of any sort of imbalance of any kind. Because, you know, anything lack, what is greed? What is envy? What is hate? What is jealousy? What is anger? That is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be at two places at the same time. You're either in love
that's,
or in your place
that's
of
true.
Fear.
That is
okay?
So true.
So people ask me, okay,
so
Elon, well, why is it that, you know, bad people, you know, are wealthy and rich and have a lot of money?
Hello?
And one of the key things that I tell them is this. Because not enough good people are getting into the game to counteract the negativity that's in existence. Because, you know, wealth does not discriminate. Doesn't care if you're tall or short, black or white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't care if you're evil or good. It does
Absolutely.
Not discriminate. It's available to each and every one of us. But what we do with money that will determine whether or not to be used for good or bad. I mean,
mm-hmm.
what's the difference between Oprah Winfrey and, let's say, you know, the subprime mortgage, you know, bankers and mortgagers, you know, that were, you know, contributing to, you know, the Enron situation or the SNL situation. I mean, you know, there are always, look, Mother Teresa was wealthy. People don't know that. The Dalai Lama was wealthy. And people don't know that. Everybody talks about, you know, what is the gentleman, Warren Buffett. He gave away, he made all of that money, 80% of his wealth he gave away, 80%. He literally gave away to charity. So he created all that money over the course of 50, 60 years only to give it away to charity.
That's
and
beautiful.
And spread it out to do good in the world. Because he
yeah.
felt as though I would like to control where the money is going to
yeah.
do good in the world. So that's what we tend to miss the mark. And that's why we've got to heal ourselves of this affliction. Because what's really happening is that we're our own worst enemy. If you're poor, pitiful, and pissed off about it, then the main reason is because of your consciousness and what you're thinking about money. And
so can you share with the audience, how did you go from being homeless to from $36 in your bank account to becoming a millionaire within
okay,
a year
good.
And a half?
And I'll tell you real simple how I did that. And the first thing that I did was, number one, like I mentioned to you, develop a wealth consciousness. So I bought a house. Okay, because wealthy people understand that there's nothing but abundance to them. They don't believe in the word can or cannot do something. It's just about the how. So in doing that, what I did was, the first thing that I did was I stepped out on faith.
Right.
I went shopping. And in doing so, thank you so much. In doing so, let me tell you how divine providence sets in when you do that. I found my first home in California, and in a nutshell, it was sold.
Okay.
I'm looking at this house, white picket fence, you know, classic,
mm-hmm.
yellow house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this house, and God is whispering in my ear, this is your home. And I'm saying, okay, that's great, God, but it has a sold sign on it. Then I shut up. Because, you know, we divas, we tend to talk a little too much. And see, this is what I mean, is when our blessings come, we're being told that. What do? We ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we don't pay attention to it. Or we trivialize it. But I did
mm-hmm.
enough spiritual work. Once again, so I was praying, I was meditating,
oh,
I was visualizing,
rationalize it.
I was affirming. Right, oh, and then that's the illusion. When we try
yes,
to be rational,
yes.
the realist, okay, that's the
yes.
illusion.
Yes.
And in doing so, guess what I did? I knew enough to shut up, because all are spoken to. It's just that many of us aren't paying attention and listening. So I went and called the agent. You know what the agent told me? The house just fell out of escrow.
Wow.
And you see what I mean? Hallelujah. Now,
yeah.
that's when I knew. That was it. My steps were ordered for me. That's when I got real confident, because I knew God was on my side. I knew that this was my house. I didn't worry about the details, that the money temporary was not in the bank account. But what I did, I got proactive. I instantaneously went online, and I got $100,000 worth of credit cards. I did have good credit. After I did that, I took a cash advance on the credit cards, and I put it in the bank so the lenders would know that I had $10,000 available to me to buy a
right.
home.
Right.
Then I got a 100% finance loan. And then when I got the 100% finance loan, I did the Carlton Sheets No Money Down program, the infomercial guy on TV that everybody calls a scam, that it doesn't work system, and I followed it to the T.
Which program was that?
The Carlton Sheets No Money Down.
Oh, yes, yes, an excellent program.
Yeah. The infomercial guy that comes on TV about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and says, oh, I went a house and I did this. I did it, and it does work. You know, people
yes.
say, it worked. I said, yes. You know what I said? If it didn't work for you, the question is this. Did you not work the program, or the program did not work?
Mm-hmm. That's
and
so
usually
true.
You didn't work the program, or if you did work it, you got one no or had one little obstacle and you quit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Preach
and
the
what
truth.
I did was, tell the truth and shame the devil.
Yes,
always tell the diva. Tell the truth and shame the devil. And so that's what I did. You know, see, the thing about it was, and that's what happens. We have a little bit of a house, or a little bit of a job, or a little bit, and so we start getting protective. I don't want to lose my job. I don't lose my house. You know, all those type of things. Even Tyler Perry. People don't know that Tyler Perry's plays failed from 1992 to 1997. That's 5 years in a row.
Mm.
His plays failed. But he said God had put that dream in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew he had to continue on. And see, it's not that the people that aren't massively successful didn't go through millions of trials and tribulations. They just didn't stop until they won.
Exactly.
And so that's what we all have to remember. We have to hold on to keep us motivated. Keep in mind this. It says it in the Bible that it is your birthright to be massively successful just because you come from the divine. Well, the question is not if you can do it, but what can you not do?
I want to just share, to me, it is a success story, and it is in this rightful way. I wasn't raised on public assistance. Both of my parents worked. I lived in a house. My mother passed, and then what happened, my stepmother took the money that my father left for my children and me. And I wasn't aware of it. The home that I was staying in, it began to deteriorate. So I was living in a dilapidated building, which happened because the city burst the pipes in front of my home when they were trying to redevelop the area. Okay, so I'm going to try to condense this. But what happened was I was really suffering, and I was just telling this pastor this story about 2 weeks ago. And I went on to tell him that there was a point that I lived in this, to me, was abandoned building. I could not even get into a shelter because I tried to get into a shelter, and I could not. We had to go around the corner to get water from the Johnny pump. Now, one will look at that and say, oh, that is so bleak. Oh, my God, I can't believe you went through that. Mm-hmm. Throughout that whole process, and the reason why I mention this, because someone said to me last night, I do group work, and when I went downstairs to make some copies, a woman was sharing her story, how she was living. And she says, oh, V, it reminded me of your story. And she said the woman went on to tell how she was living when she was upstate New York, and she went through this whole thing, and I says, wow. She said, I just want to ask you a question. Did you ever believe you were going to get out of that? I says, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I never gave up hope.
Mm-hmm.
I never gave up faith.
Mm-hmm.
I know the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you still move in that spirit,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go through this. You might not, but it depends on you to be, like you said, be victor instead of victim. You can take that situation and say, oh, I'm being victimized. You're going to go through your stuff, but you have to move on faith. I just wanted to say that because you mentioned Tyler Perry and your story, and it's true. You have to continue on that faith. You have to continue on that hope, and you cannot trust anything but the divine power, spirit, God. And when that spirit speaks within you, you got to, like you said, be quiet and listen and listen. And today she was like, you know, but you're doing this and you're doing that. And she says, wow, I can't even imagine. And she said, you had two children. Yeah, I did. And my children had to get the water from that Johnny pump around the corner, the fire hydrant. And I shared that story, and I said, and there was a time that drug dealers were keeping their drugs in that fire hydrant. And I shared that story to say to you, I know what you're talking about. And this, to me, this is fantastic. It's astounding. Your story is astounding, but it's not something that cannot be accomplished like you're saying. We all have that ability and connection to that spirit. I just wanted to say that.
And I agree with you. You know, the same source that Oprah has access to, Tyler Perry has access to, you and I have access. Everybody's got access to the same source. So the only difference between them and us is point blank, we just made different choices. You know, we don't want to make it really, you know, out there. We want to make it magical, mystical. It's just that simple truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's why I'm very clear. I may have been homeless, but I wasn't helpless and I wasn't hopeless.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I'm really talking about. That's what's so important, that we be on divine purpose. And that's what really happened. You know, I found what my purpose was to do, and I started to self-actualize it. Because when I was homeless, Diva, one thing I was very clear about, nobody came to my rescue. And I was glad, because I really got it. Because the only true relationship that you will ever have in life is between you and God. That's the first and foremost, most important, and that's the only one you really truly need. Everything else is just icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we once we're very clear with that, and we establish that union with the divine order, there's nothing you cannot do and cannot accomplish.
So true.
You there?
So true.
So I'm very, very clear about that. So what? So just real simple. No, and see, after that, you know, I'm real confident now. You know, I got a divine connection. Yeah, so I'm going to go up there. So I went through the motions. You know, I faced it until I made it. You know, I act like I knew. I walked into the closing, and I got on the phone and found the script from that little infomercial guy, and to the T. And guess what? It came true. I told her, I said, listen, this is what I'll do. I buy the house for $125,000 if the seller will pay the closing costs. Well, I knew they was going to accept the offer because the house just fell out of escrow. He was tasting that money. He's ready to close the deal. And more importantly, I already checked and saw the house that I was buying was actually only worth $115,000. So the point about it was he's going to sell it to me for $120,000 in essence and lose about $5,000 in it.
Okay.
But he's going to get his house sold and the money in his pocket. More importantly, I was going to get a house that I haven't taken money out of my pocket. Because I was temporarily out of cash. I wasn't broke. Because when you got a prosperity consciousness, you temporarily cash. Because you know that's in the universe. And you're working on getting it back into your pocket
that's
again.
So true.
So that's what I did. And when I walked out of the closing, I had a check for $625 in my pocket because they had paid the taxes for the year. So they actually paid me to buy the house. I paid more for Jess and Nordstrom than I did my first home. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm talking about. And let me tell you how divine order continues to prosper when you step out on faith. So the first thing I did, I got practical. This is what we need to do. Get practical. Well, first thing I did was, okay, I had a two-bedroom home. Guess what I did? I rented out the other bedroom. Half of my mortgage, $450.
Mm-hmm.
They paid a deposit for $450. Now I got the first month's rent. It's not doing 30 days. I got $900. Okay, I can at least take care of the first month's rent. Then what I did was I had a garage sale. I sold my wedding ring. I didn't need that any longer. You know, I got rid of my car. You know, I started to focus on assets and not liabilities any longer.
Exactly.
You know, when I got into the home, I didn't buy any rent-a-center furniture. I didn't do anything of that nature. If it wasn't going to make money for me, then I didn't invest into it. Me and my baby, you know, we slept on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do what you have to do. I opened up my private practice outside of my home. I can do that. And I say this when people repeat after me. Everything I just now said is practical, what everybody else can do. You know, I started creating a garden. I had a person who had a garden was giving me food, and I used that to cook for us.
Right,
you see what
right.
I'm saying? I fasted on Sundays. You do what you got to do, but I made sure my baby ate.
Exactly.
You know? And in addition to that, I woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning and went to bed at 10 o'clock at night for 7 years straight.
Yeah.
You know?
So can you tell us, okay, I hear you giving us some formulas, right? But you have some programs that you offer. Can you introduce that program or those programs to the audience so that they can move towards obtaining their wealth?
Sure. First thing I'm going to tell them that during the fall of 2009, I will be offering real estate courses, investment courses, internet marketing courses, and also, you know, e-business and a regular-based business courses to deal with credit. All those things are going to be coming up in the fall, and they're nominal fees between $495 to $995. To be with me personally as a mentor, and that's what I mainly do, because it's like the best education is one-on-one.
Exactly.
Even Tiger Woods, as bad as he is, number one at the world, the best golfer in the whole world, he has a coach. He has a mentor. Because coaches can see things that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they can point you in the right direction. So my program for half a year is $5,000, for a year is $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I make it real practical for people. I have financial fitness parties that people come and sponsor me in their area that I attend. And they went about $295 to $495. So I try to make it reasonable. But I'm clear about this. Financial freedom ain't free. You got to be willing to make a financial investment. And one of the things that they can do, even people are temporary cash right now, this is what I did. I could go to the library and borrow a library card, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. you can do that. And what I did, I punched in Millionaire, and I read every single book I can get my hand on that had Millionaire in it. Mm-hmm. I read it, and I copied some of the things that Millionaire did. I found 90% of millionaires developed their wealth in real estate. I said, I could do that. And she told me I didn't need any money to do it. I said, I really could do that. You know? And I took action. And so that's the key thing I want to tell you. It's a three-step thing. Number one, develop a wealth consciousness. Number two, become financially literate. Come on, all of us are financially illiterate. That's what caused most people to falter, particularly African-American women of an upper income bracket who could have gotten, you know, type A type of loans, got those subprime mortgage debacle loans because they were not knowledgeable about money. So it's not an option any longer. You can't afford to be financially literate. And I mean that literally. You can't afford to be it. And that's why so many people lost their homes and got into financial perils, because they don't teach that in school. You know, and I'd be the first to raise my hand. It was a very humbling experience to realize that I knew nothing about money. We think when we graduate, all these alphabets behind our name, by osmosis, we'll know how to handle the money once it shows up. And most of us are what? Making all the money. I know attorneys and doctors are making $600,000 a year and living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got baubles out there for everything. They got the boat, and they got the cars, and they got the trips, and they got the vacation, and they got the big expensive homes and mortgages at $4,000 or $5,000 a month. You know, they got a price tag ticket out there for everything. So that's why it's so important that people develop, you know, these basic skills in order to be successful. But the first thing, other thing that people do, go purchase my three, what I tell them, the three prongs. Get my book called Dynamic Diva Dollars, which gives you a brief understanding of my inspirational story, but more importantly, it's got the how-to in it. It tells you about the importance of investing in real estate, the stock market, and I even have diagrams and charts and a lot of financial education information. So read those books first and get Wealth Chance. Wealth Chance is preparing that mind for it. Like I said, 90% of wealth is thinking it. So if you can do that, the how-to is only 10%. So don't worry about that, because the average lottery winner is broke within 2 years. How can that be? You know, the diva just now recently, a young woman, she's just now 22 years old, single mom, she just now won the lottery. She's going to be taking in her pocket about $2 million. And I'm frightened for her. I am praying that she really knows how to utilize that money, because $2 million, $1 million is not a lot of money anymore. Let's get this straight. You know, you can't retire off of it. It is not a lot of money. You know, Walmart is still my favorite store. You know, I still have a budget. Let's be very, very clear about that. It doesn't take very much to lose it. And so I'm really hoping that she gets the financial education and money management skills in order for it to be in her life for the rest of her life, because it can be. Because that's what happened, Diva. It wasn't so much that I made more money. It's that I started changing my habits and working smarter with the money that I was already making and using it more effectively and efficiently, so I started making money for me. Okay? All I did was shift what I was doing with my money. So with that said, for example, let me give you an example. Finish my story about how I did what I did. So after I purchased the first home, what I did was I formulated limited partnerships with people who had money and credit. And what we did, we went out there and we got more real estate. So basically, I purchased a duplex. When I purchased the duplex, once again, 100% financing, I rented out the first home to someone who was paying about $1,200 a month. My mortgage was $900, so I was able to pocket a good $200 a month of positive cash flow. Then I purchased a duplex on the other side. They helped me pay the whole entire mortgage for the house. So right now I got $600-$800 helping me pay the mortgage of the house that I'm in. Then I also supplemented it because I developed a relationship with the company, and I had foster children. So I gave them a good home, gave them a good livelihood, and they helped me pay my mortgage and continue my lifestyle of living. Is that making sense to you?
Yeah.
All practical things that people can do. I wanted to stay home with my kids, so I took care of other people's children.
And so
that's what it's all practical. Once again, get back to where all practical things that people can do, I did. Nothing out of a rat attack, you know. And then in addition to that, you know, I help people, you know, focus on, we would go half in on a piece of property. They put their half in, they would move in, et cetera. We got very, very creative. And it's not about if we can do something. It's all about the how you can do it. And that's my mentality, and it should be yours too. Not about can or can't. It's about the how. And if you think in that context, miracles will happen. Just start thinking up and brainstorming. And that's what I really want people to understand, that, you know, you're just one thought away from your million-dollar idea. Think about it. Rubik's Cube was what? An idea. Heartful Production was what an idea. Madea was what an idea. Harry Potter was what was an idea that was created by a woman that was on a British welfare system. Think about it. She was a single mom also. Look at her.
I know.
You know, a couple of years later, seven books later, she's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm,
I know she
mm-hmm.
thought she was going to get wealthy, but I know she was surprised it would extend to that extent. But that's how good God is. That's how good when you go out there and do your purpose. That's why I tell people it's so important to do your divine purpose. Because
yes.
God gives us talents. But guess what? Multiple talents we all have. And that's what we need to realize. We don't just come into this world with one talent. We're multifaceted, multi-talented, and more importantly, there is nothing we cannot do. Because, you know, the word education, educ is Latin, and what it means is to bring out. So what it basically means that all the teacher is doing when they're training the student is bringing out what they already are having doubt with inside of them. And our greatest teacher of all is what? God. So God has instilled within our RNA and DNA everything we need to be, an architect, an actress, singer, you know, model, mother, father, whatever it is that we want to be, we're naturally equipped for. It's our thinking that will determine that what we'll focus our energies on, what we'll create and manifest in our lives. So that's what I want people to do. Find out what you love to do. Figure out how you can get paid to do it, and I promise you, never work a day in your life. And that's how I'm living my life today. I don't feel like I'm working. I work harder than I did when I had a 40-hour work week and working for the government.
No. No, I'm aware of that.
I felt like it, too.
And I love
it. Because
it's mine.
Yes, it's yours. I mean, the feeling of being in control of your financial
mm-hmm.
destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is so much more rewarding than any dollar bill that anybody can do. I'm the happiest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still have those same type of hours I mentioned to you earlier. People look at that and say, wow, she's working hard. And that's another thing. People don't like to use the four-letter word work. Yes, I'm going to tell you now it's going to take work, but it's not hard work, once again, when you love it.
Mm-hmm.
So find out what your passion is. And more important, I tell people, you know, love the job you have until you get the life you love.
Exactly.
And what I mean by that, you know, work the 9 to 5 until you can do the 5 to 9 to help you successfully transition into what you were ordained to do. Is that making sense to you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. So, yes. Believe me, I quit 2 jobs. I was in a leadership position because I just was not feeling it. It was like, oh, no, I'm doing this for someone else. But not only that, the unethical manner that I was experiencing, and I watch other clients experience, and people that were over me were allowing these behaviors to happen, to be to manifest throughout the organization or the 2 organizations that I was at one point working for. And I just said, I can't do this. I have to move with the spirit. I mean, I knew for a long time that I had to do what I need to do. And once I stepped out, which I always step out with faith, once I did that, I'm telling you, I know what you're talking about. Everything for me, everything is opening up. I can see it, and I can feel it. So I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm confident. That's why I'm courageous, because I've seen God work miracles in my life.
Right.
And I'm cleared, and that's why I tell everybody that the same miracles that are available to me are available to you. Give yourself the opportunity. And
can you give us your website?
Sure. The website is thedynamicdiva.com. That's thedynamicdiva.com. And we also have drelanbomani.com too. drelanbomani.com. That's available for individuals. And the last book I tell people to get, which is really important because credit is a major issue now, is gooddebtriches.com, www.gooddebtriches.com. That book helps you create, build, repair, and leverage your credit to profit. Where on credit, you'll be able to get your car, your house, create a business on credit. I did so many businesses on credit card that became profitable. And that's another thing I want to tell you. Once you establish that type of wealth consciousness, it doesn't matter what industry you get into. Because I've been successful in network marketing. I did, and this was after failing in the last, like, 15 or 16 of them. That's why I know it's a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because after I developed my first million in real estate, I got involved with a network marketing company where I made over $100,000 on a part-time basis.
Okay.
And I tell people it's a system. It's a consciousness. It is a understanding that it doesn't, it's not about the product, it's all about you. And that's why I talk about, you know, people's self-worth, why it is so important that they work on that, because the money will follow thereafter, because people pick up that energy. And that's why association brings on a simulation. That's why most people who they hang out with is making the same amount of money or less than what they're
mm-hmm.
making, I promise you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, you need to find some new friends.
Exactly.
You can keep the old ones, but you need to find some new friends. If you want to elevate yourself, you got to play with people. In the game of tennis, in order to get better at tennis, you got to play with people that are better than you. And that's the same thing in the game of money. You got to play with people that are better than you. I have coaches now who are multimillionaires. Oprah don't know. She's a billionaire. She's my coach, too. You know, you don't have to have directly access to people, but you can emulate and copy some of the things that they're doing. You know, and that's what I did in order on my journey. You know, I mean, very clear that I had millionaire mentors. You know, I took out to lunch or I did deals with, you know, finding their information in the newspaper. We did some real estate deals on some of them. And the people, wealthy people, love to help. They're the most generous, kindest people in the whole wide world. Contrary to what you've been told, that's why I say you seek it out for yourself. They're the most giving and loving person because you know why? They're self-actualized. They are so naturally empowered because, once again, they know that they're in control of our destiny, you know. So those are some of the things that I highly, highly recommend that people do. Is in order to build wealth in your life, a couple of things you need to do. You need to hang out with wealthy people and do some of the things that they do. Wealthy people do not watch TV. Reality shows, soap operas, the news, what are the other stuff that's going on? Oh, text messaging, email everybody, gossiping. They don't have any time for that. Time management is of the utmost importance, and they stay completely in the light. So that's very important. Because if you're going to go out and gamble, what are you going to do? Go out to the casino, you're going to most likely gamble. If you go to a bar, what are you most likely to do? You're going to drink. You know, if you go hang out with your drama girlfriend, you're going to most likely get into drama. So that's why some people, if you do the complete opposite, you're going to go to a wealth workshop, you're going to learn about money and meet other wealthy people that are about aspiring to become wealthy also. You know, you're going to improve your spirit. You're going to most likely go to church or go to a spiritual retreat and meet other people of like mind and do meditation and yoga and visualization and cleansing and purifying and healing. And if you want to eat healthier, you're going to go to Whole Foods or go to a vegan restaurant and meet other people of like mind and enjoy their surroundings and environment. So that's what it's really, really all about. You know, changing your circle of influence. Change, 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 change. And guess what? The people who are poor are the most difficult ones who want to do just that is change. But that's what life is nothing about. That's what I call dynamic. Dynamic is generalization of change.
I'm so sorry we soon are going to be ending, but it was wonderful. It was enlightening. And I thank you very much for bringing this to us. I will be passing on this information and posting it on my blog. And I just wanted to say to you, because we now only have 54 seconds, may you stay continuously on this path and offering this. And I know you will, but I just want to put that out there and stay blessed.
And I implore you to do the same, Diva, because you're doing a phenomenal job also.
Thank you.
No one. Thank you so much. Massive success and blessings to you too.
Thank you. Well received. Peace and blessings.
Peace.